Carol Free, and I am an alcoholic. And I'm scared shitless. Okay, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I was about 3 or 4 years old, and my dad used to wake me up on New Year's and celebrate the New Year's and bring it in with tequila sunrises or margaritas, and he'd share them with me. And then I would end up spilling them because, you know, I'd like drink a lot of it, and then I'd spill it, so he'd think that it was got spilled instead of me drinking it all. So, you know, that was something that I guess I was sneaky, but even at the age of 4 years old, you know. And so I thought that, you know, I thought that that was the way life was. I thought that, you know, you drank with your dad. That's just what you did, you know, and growing up, and that's what we did in the house, you know. When he would drink, I get to drink too. And Mom never really said much about it, you know, so she just kind of closed her eyes to it. And but as I grew older, I lived near the church, and so I was trying to be a little Miss Goody Two Shoes, and you know, I drink on the side, but yet I'd be in church and do all the right stuff, you know, and pretend that, you know, I was just a normal kid. And I got beat up a lot when I was a kid. Going to school, I would go down one way, and the kids would all end up being at the end and end up, you know, getting picked on. And, you know, because growing up, my mama dressed me funny, you know, and I was always made fun of. So, you know, that was always a reason to feel out of place, you know. And as I got older, I was sneaking more and sneaking more and sneaking more. And then I started doing other stuff. And in high school, I was, you know, I was a stoner, and I drank more, and just to be a part of the party and part of, you know, everyone else. And that was all I knew. And then when I got out of high school, after high school, I was drinking more. And then when I turned 21, it was the neatest day of my life. I got to go out and drink with my dad in a bar. You know, we started out with Aunt Emma's breakfast, and then we started hitting all the bars because we lived right across the street from a bar. So that was really cool, you know. And at least I thought it was. You know, I thought, well, shoot, I'll get to go in there with my dad, you know. And we did. We celebrated that whole day and partied. And then, you know, after that, I kept drinking. And I never really had a good job. I didn't go to school. I finished high school and just, you know, job to job to job to job, because I couldn't hold one, you know, because I liked to party too much, you know, and couldn't hold one. So when, let's see, I left the state and I went to Tennessee, and before that I had some kids, and I had a kid, then I, you know, drank some more, and then I had another kid, and then I had another kid, and then I ended up going to Tennessee, and then I left one behind because that dad wanted his kid, and I couldn't take him with me. So when I was in Tennessee, I drank more, and I drank more, and I got into other stuff, and I drank more, and then I met my husband, and we were pretty much stoners too, you know, and that's part of my story. But I drank; it went hand in hand, you know, the pot and the booze went hand in hand. And then what happened was he died. I went in one day, and he was laying on the ground, and he died, and he was gone. And that turned my world upside down. And there, at that moment, you know, I did not want to live. So I went completely off the deep end. I went out, you know, hit bars, hit men, you know, whatever I could do. And I was a wild woman and crazy. And I went totally off the deep end and didn't want to live. Well, I almost lost my child, you know, my daughter that was still with me. And I don't know, one day I stood on my porch and I said, okay, God, get me home and get me the people in my life to to make my life different. And I had no idea that there was a place like this to come to. You know, when I got home and I got to San Diego, I was able to get here, and I started going to a church, and there was a circle support, and some girl goes, "Hey, you want to come to an AA meeting with me?" I'm like, "What the heck is an AA meeting?" You know, and she was doing her steps and had her books with her and all that. I said, "What the heck's that all about?" She said, "Come and see." And so I'll go with you, you know. So I went to a meeting in El Cajon. And when I got in there, there was people sitting around the table, and we're all saying our names, you know. And this one girl says, "I'm Carol, and I'm an alcoholic." And then the next girl, she goes, "I'm Carol, and I'm an alcoholic." And I went, "I guess I'm Carol, and I'm an alcoholic," you know. And I had no idea that I was really an alcoholic, but them saying it and their names, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I am. You know, I knew I was a stoner, but I really didn't know I was an alcoholic until I sat in these rooms and started listening to everyone, you know, and I knew I had a problem, and I knew that I was, you know, I knew I didn't want to live the way I was living. So I kept going to meetings, and I grabbed a sponsor right away, which when we got to the fourth step, I didn't want to do a fourth step, so I got a new sponsor. And then I got somebody else, and then we got to the fourth step, and then I got another new sponsor. You know, and then I got to the fourth step again, and I got another new sponsor. And then I got another sponsor. You know, every time I get to that fourth step, I don't trust them. I don't want to tell them this. You know, and then I got one that I held on to for a while, and we got to the eighth step. And then we got to the eighth step, she moved. I'm like, gosh, I got this far, you know, and then I had to find someone else, and then I finally got to go all the way through my steps, and then when I was able to clean house, you know, and get rid of that baggage, because there's a lot of baggage that I didn't, you know, go into, but there's a lot of stuff that had happened in that drinking days, and I knew that once I let that stuff go, I knew my life could be different. You know, and today in my recovery, about in October, I lost my mom. And that was one of the hardest things I've ever been through. I was in school, and I was getting my associate's degree in healthcare administration, and I just graduated. So, you know, that was a miracle, and that's because of this program that I was able to do that and walk through the death of my mom in the same time. And then I had, you know, my boyfriend's brother passed away, and then my mother-in-law from the husband that passed away had died this year too. And so, you guys, you know, no matter what happens in our lives, as long as we stay focused and we use this program to its ability, the best of its ability, you know, we get a big book and we read it, we work those 12 steps, we have a higher power. I know I have a higher power that has really walked me through this last year. And, you know, and work with others. You know, that's the most important thing in my life today is working with others. You know, and I ran through this pretty fast, but there was a story that I wanted to tell, and I kind of skipped over it. But when I was 21, I lived at home, and I had all kinds of friends in my block. And what I did is I had this really cool purse. Okay, this is the purse story. I had this really cool purse, and I had, you know, my bottle of tequila, my shot glass, my bandana, my lemon, my knife to cut my lemon, you know, everything that there was. And, of course, I had the other stuff to do the other things, too, the pot and the bong and the water and all that stuff extra. And I had the, you know, and it was called my kit, you know. And I'd go next door, and I'd start, and I'd open it up, and I'd say, okay, it's party time, and we'd do this, you know. And And I'd party with them, and I said, okay, it's time to go. And then I'd go out on the other side of my house, and there was another lady, and we'd party. And I'd do the same thing, take out my bandana, set up everything, you know, and party time. And that's what. And then I had like four or five different places that I'd go all the way down the street. And by 2 o'clock in the morning, I was all the way at the end of the block, but I was at home, you know, I was on my block, so all I had to do was walk home. You know, it wasn't a big deal. But the moral of that story is that, you know, I had a kit, and now today I carry my cooler, and I have my lemon and my ice and my water, but it's non-alcoholic. You know, it's not alcohol today. And when I was driving, I had my pool stick and my horseshoes and, you know, things like that to make me happy. So I have a different set of things today that I carry on a regular basis. You know, and I'm just grateful to be sober. And am I running out of time yet? Yes. You know, I'm grateful to be sober, and I'm thank you for asking me to speak. And you know, I don't know what I would have done this past year without the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in these rooms. And thank you to all my friends that are here tonight just to see me speak. And I'm grateful, and I love you guys. Thanks.